Did you know that Gymboree Play & Music offers live online classes? Come play the virtual way. We now offer online playtime classes, and you can register for your first class for free online at gymboreeclasses.com. You're listening to The Parent Pod Podcast by Gymboree Play & Music. The Parent Pod is a weekly conversation about early childhood development topics for parents with children ages 0 to 5. While the content of this show is meant to be informative, it is not meant to replace the guidance of your physician, therapist, or pediatrician. On this special episode of The Parent Pod, we're speaking to Jennifer Twomey and Tracy Page Johnson, the Emmy-nominated executive producers and showrunners of the preschool Netflix original series, Gabby's Dollhouse. Enjoy the episode. Hello, Tracy and Jennifer, and thank you so much for joining us on this episode of The Parent Pod. How are you?
Great. How are you? So happy to be here.
No, I'm excited to have the both of you on today's show. I think just an excitement for our collaboration with DreamWorks and Gabby's Dollhouse and the launch of the next season, which comes out on August the 10th. We're just excited to learn about all things Gabby. All things about the show, all things about what parents can expect with the upcoming season. So,
and all things cats.
And all things cats, right? It's so funny. In my research of the show, we were trying to figure out like, okay, well, what is the best way to bring in Gabby into the Gymboree Play & Music sites? And so as a team, we were looking for all of the academic themes, and we were looking to see like, okay, well, how do we ground a STEM class in Gymboree Play & Music that has to do with Gabby's Dollhouse? How do we bring in the music? And then it was funny because I think we were all on a call and somebody is like, well, you know, we really can't get around the obvious. And we're all like, what's the obvious? Like the cats.
Yeah. Like, you know, everybody loves cats.
Yeah. And
well,
it's so funny.
We are really excited to be here with you. And we have six kids between us and we know Gymboree so well. And we're just thrilled to talk about Gabby's with you.
Yeah.
No, and the cat.
Yeah. We have a cat laying out with us right now.
So
inspiration
funny.
Of Floyd.
Cats and music.
Oh my gosh. That's one thing about kids. Like it doesn't really matter how old they are. Doesn't matter what they're doing. You know, if you let them even try to embody a cat, you bring in cat music, cat print, anything, like they yeah. want in. So
right, yep, they connect with cats.
Yes, I love it. And so just to kind of kick things off here, I wanted to just find out a little bit about what the philosophy was behind Gabby's Dollhouse. Was there a cat that inspired this great show? Was there a little girl? Was there somebody that you guys know in your personal lives? Like what really brought the concept of this show to life, both in the creation stage, but then now that it's on DreamWorks and coming out again on on August the 10th.
Yeah. Season two. I think when we were coming up with the show idea for Gabby's, Tracy and I went back to just what we loved as kids and what felt magical and exciting to us as kids. And among those things were dollhouses. I was obsessed with dollhouses when I was a kid, and sort of that idea that you could go into your dollhouse and create this whole world and characters and imagination.
And then along with that, the love of miniatures, of collecting all those little dollhouse, you know, little shoes and gumball machines and little beds
and
little pies and making things too, you know, being inspired by clay and making little foods out of clay and teeny tiny, just loving all things miniature. Mm-hmm. And then loving our cats. And the whole, you know, always having cats growing up and, you know, and just you can see how popular cats are with the phenomenon of the YouTube video.
And then the other piece that you know, we went back to our childhood, but then the current day phenomenon that we were so blown away by and so intrigued by was this unboxing phenomenon where kids were going on different online sites and watching, usually an adult woman's hand, unboxing toys. And
we're like,
and we're looking at the repeat viewing on this. And we were like, what the heck is this about? And, you know, we've done Blue's Clues together and Team Umizoomi, and we know the power of repetition for this age group, how they love to watch things again and again, mm-hmm. but had not seen it in this way of like unboxing something. And then it finally hit us like, duh, they're opening a present. Like, who doesn't want to open a present again and again? And we loved that idea, but we were really hoping to kind of take it to the next level where you're not just unboxing an item or a toy, but unboxing a story. And we felt like this unboxing piece could really have the opportunity to
be the catalyst to great stories and adventures.
Mm-hmm. So it would kick the show off in a way that captures preschoolers' imaginations, but then it's like the ultimate fantasy. You get to see that little miniature item that you just unboxed, take that with Gabby into the dollhouse where it shrinks down, and then that's the thing that is the catalyst for the day's adventure. Mm-hmm. So those were sort of the ingredients that went into the cauldron. And then,
our mission is always to, you know, when we're creating shows, always to create something original and breakthrough, and that has heart, and Gabby's is no exception to that. And actually Gabby, the character, comes from Jen's daughter, Gabby.
We knew we wanted, we always like to include curriculum. You know, we've had a long history in our experience with preschool TV, starting with Blue's Clues and Team Umizoomi, of having a curriculum embedded in the show. For this particular assignment, we were looking for something that wasn't as like math or pre-reading, that kind of thing. And mm-hmm. we loved the, we had just been introduced to Carol Dweck's growth mindset and the idea that she had done a whole study where, you know, you can be taught to have growth mindset, meaning either fixed, you believe things are fixed abilities. So I don't know how to play soccer. I'm not good at soccer. Or I'm not good at soccer yet, but if I practice and I put in hard work, I'm going to get better and better and better and reach my goals. Mm-hmm. And it really is a mindset that sets kids up to be resilient and successful in life, not just in whatever that particular activity is. Mm-hmm. And her study showed that this can be taught to adults as well as kids, and that for preschoolers, it was particularly
the window of opportunity was open, like this is the time, and celebrating mistakes, right? When they're feeling tentative of starting something new. Mm-hmm. We have a new song coming up in the fall drop of Whoopsie, I Made a Mistake and It's Okay.
It's okay.
Celebrating mistakes. And, you know, Gabby is just the model of the growth mindset. And we know that kids love aspirational characters.
So we really just fell in love with that whole idea of being able to model the growth mindset in Gabby. And because we did model her after my daughter, she happens to be very gritty and resilient. but then for the rest of the characters, we kind of, everyone's on a spectrum of more or less growth mindset, and they're all evolving as the series goes on. But just having Gabby to be, she was sort of the caretaker of the dollhouse. She watches out for all her friends inside the dollhouse, and to see the characters approach problems in different ways depending on their mindset was super important to us. And it felt like it was just the perfect time for this series. Mm-hmm. And given all the challenges that kids are facing, you know, this was pre-pandemic, but mm-hmm. in the pandemic time, it couldn't have been, you know, more needed in terms of if something doesn't work one way, let's figure out another way to mm-hmm. get it done. Mm-hmm.
As Pillow Cat says, let's roll with it.
Yep. Roll with it.
You know, it's so interesting. So when I spoke to Terry in the episode with her about what the show was really developed around and what key themes parents would be able to identify, she mentioned the growth mindset as well. And so I was just so intrigued because in watching the show, I'm like, okay, I can pick out the academic themes. I can pick out the threads of information around academics and mm-hmm. STEAM and working together and community and collaboration. I could see all of that. And then when she said growth mindset, it was like a light bulb went off. I was like, oh my gosh, she's absolutely right. And it's just so interesting because in children's programming, that's rarely a phrase you hear of a lot. In terms of character development, mm-hmm. Obviously those are character traits that we want children to have as they are growing up and going through school, you know, whether it's grit, resilience, a sense of independence, right? Mm-hmm. But to kind of learn that a show was mindful and thoughtful enough to kind of embed that in the way that the characters were developed, that the storylines were developed, I just found to be incredibly intriguing. And so it kind of caught me by surprise because I was just like, oh my gosh, I know all about growth mindset. And as an adult, it's something I research quite a bit and try to incorporate into my own life. And then to find out that a show that is really targeted towards my preschool age son teaches some of those same aspects, I just found to be like, oh, you know. Yeah,
well, absolutely. We hope to inspire a whole generation of kids saying the phrase, I don't know yet, or I can't do that yet, as we try to include at least once or twice in every episode of Gabby's.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, Gabby, the growth mindset is really our major push. We do include other sort of kindergarten readiness skills. But the growth mindset is really what Gabby is all about. And, you know, she has so many phrases. Yet is her big one. I can't do this yet. But she's also, you know, progress, not perfection. I failed fantastically. Or come on, Pandy, we can do hard things. You know, showing kids that when something's hard and when something's difficult, mm-hmm. you can retract from it and say, I'm not good at this. Or you can ask a friend. Mm-hmm. You can
asking for help is a superpower.
Mm-hmm. You can find one area of that you really like. You mm-hmm. can put in hard work and get better. And that's how you get better. The best athletes in the world weren't born like, mm-hmm. you know, superstars. They put in so many hours of practice.
And we do stay away from perfect, but practice makes better.
Yeah, you know, we try not to ever say perfect in the show.
Yep, mindset for sure.
Perfect.
Love that. Yeah. Now I know that
we don't want to be perfect.
Right. Gabby, she says this in the episode, she's perfectly imperfect.
Yeah.
I love that. You mentioned a few moments ago that kind of each of the characters represents a spectrum of growth mindset. Are you able to tell me kind of which characters are matched up with what types of behaviors? So for example, if I'm watching what growth mindset might look like in DJ Catnip versus Gabby versus Meerkat even.
I would say Gabby obviously is our model for growth mindset. She's the kind of caretaker of the whole dollhouse, and mm-hmm. she's the most growth mindset. I would say Pandy is probably the least growth mindset. Mm-hmm. Not that he's
negative. He's not negative.
He's not negative. He's always, you know, jumping in with 2 feet. But Pandy, as soon as something gets hard, Pandy's the first one to say, like,
I'm done. I can't do this. I give up.
Why are we doing this? Or, you know, if plan A doesn't work, he's ready to just call it a day. Forget plan B. So Gabby and Pandy as our main characters really make a nice matchup. And she's able to rally him to say, like, come on, Pandy, you can do hard things. Yeah, I know, but come on, we can do it. And he'll do it or try it in a different way. Or what do you like about doing this? And what don't you like? Let's think about it. And then I would say the rest of the characters are sort of on a sliding scale. Like Baby Box, I think, is very growth mindset. She's our craft cat who lives in the craft room, and she's made out of a cardboard box. She's always got ideas about inventing something. If you don't have the right tool, she'll invent it. Whereas someone like Keiki, who is one of our younger characters, Keiki's more that kid that goes from 0 to 60 in an instant, you know.
Super I can't do excited.
But then as soon as something goes wrong, she's crying, sprinkled tears. Oh, this didn't work. And Gabby can usually talk her down, like, okay, Keiki, come on,
take
a deep breath, let's breathe in and out. So we do introduce a lot of strategies. It's not just, like, we love our catchphrases, but it's not just the catchphrases, mm-hmm. because catchphrases only take you so far. We really try to model behavior of, you know, how do you, if you're in that situation as a kid, what do you do? How you feel like, I've tried it and I can't do it. Mm-hmm. So what do you do? You know, take a deep breath, think of thing, look at it from a different way, mm-hmm. go away and come back, ask a friend for help, ask a parent for help. Mm-hmm. Figure out what parts of it do you like and what parts don't you like? Is there something that's in particular that's giving you a hard time? Mm-hmm. So I think that just the growth mindset curriculum feels so important right now, mm-hmm. in today's world. And the fact that Carol Dweck's research shows that for preschoolers, they can be taught a growth mindset. It just felt like such an exciting opportunity for us to create a show around that,
mm-hmm.
while giving kids,
you know, all surprises that they love.
Surprising adventures in a magical dollhouse with characters who we think are adorable and unusual and quirky.
Bringing our signature interactivity to it of, you know, breaking that fourth wall and, you know, starting in the live action, right? Ordinary is extraordinary. And having that aspirational girl, Gabby, who we love, and when she looks to camera and asks, you know, do you want to come along with me on this adventure? And, you know, just knowing that kids are like nodding yes, and coming in, and then just, you know, springboarding into kids' imaginations and pretend play and taking into this amazing, magical, you know, dollhouse that has portals that, you know, anything can happen in the dollhouse, which has been so fun for us, yeah. and the stories where they lead to.
Now, we know that the next season is coming out in just a few weeks on August 10th. What should families look
forward to? I can't wait.
I know, it's extremely exciting. What should families look forward to this fall? Like, what new things, what new storylines, adventures should they be excited to hear about or to see?
Sure. Well, what's so fun about as you get rolling, you know, the animation and the characters, you really get, you know, sink your teeth into, and you get on a roll for environments and stories and characters. You know, lots of growth mindset and new portals. We're going to have Pandy's birthday, where we unbox a little party, and we're going to throw Pandy a birthday party. We go into the dollhouse and we actually go to Birthday Party Island.
Very exciting.
And we get to help Pandy play a pickle pinata. And there's a great growth mindset moment where Gabby has her cake, or the cake that we made Pandy. And I think he's excited and he like falls,
yeah,
pushes
this is
us off the
perfect growth mindset. Pandy, Keiki brings out the cake at the end and Pandy's so excited, he jumps up and knocks the cake over and it lands kind of upside down on the plate.
And it's ruined, Keiki's upset.
Keiki's crying, Pandy's like, I feel terrible. And then Gabby turns it around, puts a little growth mindset on it. She's like, it's not the cake that we thought it was gonna be, but it still tastes exactly the same. And it's even better. It's a smash cake and we can eat it with our hands. Just dig in. And so everybody just digs a paw in and eats it without spoons or forks. And they're like, this is the best cake ever. Yeah. So it's really about taking those like, uh-oh moments and turning them into fun instead of letting it, you know,
get you down
and letting it sour,
ruin the moments.
ruin the moment.
Ruin the moment.
You let
I love that. Yeah, smash cake. Like, yeah. Oh, that makes perfect sense. You know, listening to it, it's like, you know, sometimes things kind of work out, but then they work out the way they're supposed to and everything's fine anyways, right?
So. Yeah, absolutely.
Or even better.
Yeah.
We unboxed a tiny little sleeping bag and slippers, and it turns out Kitty Fairy's having a sleepover. Mm-hmm. And Pillow Cat's coming, though Pillow Cat is a little apprehensive, and in growth mindset, it's always about trying new things. So we work with Pillow Cat and show her all the fun adventures. We get our own fairy wings, and we get to pick pajamas for the pajama party off the pajama tree that grows magically in the garden. We go into Fairy Stump Grove and have a tea party of fizzy fairy juice and rainbow colored popcorn.
Mm-hmm. And we have a night's episode that we love, where they're going into the Kitty Cat Castle to become knights of the royal castle. They have to complete three nightly duties in order to light up the three areas on their shields. And Cat Rat, who's one of our favorite characters because he sort of plays
the...
He's got a little, you know, a little mischief in him. He's got a good heart, but he's always got the mischief in him. And he didn't think he got invited.
To the knighting ceremony.
He locked King Catnip in the tower and he threw the key out the window. So when they finally find Cat Rat, they look out the window and the key is over by Floyd, Gabby's live action cat, who's dressed as a dragon. So one of the things we love about the show that does feel different and unique is the
mixed medium aspect,
mixing the live action and the animation. And we've been doing more and more of it. And it adds this element of magic and seeing our little animated characters come out of the dollhouse, go over to Floyd, who all the home viewer knows Floyd because it's Gabby's real cat, dressing Floyd up in a costume and letting him really participate. But that's one of my favorites of the new episodes. It's really exciting and there's lots of great music. I mean, music is huge to the series. And our composer, P.T. Walkley, is someone that both Tracy and I have worked with for many, many years. And he just has a gift for creating songs that are like radio play worthy, appropriate to the, you know, great with lyrics and getting the songs are absolutely amazing. We hear from everybody, that music is crazy. There's something like Mercat's song and DJ's song. People are like, I can't believe how hard you guys go on that music for a preschool show. We're like, yeah, we love that. We want it to be, I mean, kids are listening to all kinds of music.
Yeah, you want to expose them to all kinds.
And we don't want our music to feel, you know.
The traditional kitty.
Right.
Yeah,
we want to really rock out to our music, and so there's tons of music in season two. Mm-hmm.
No, I love that. You know, I think when I think back to my own childhood, even just most of the shows that I remember and have solid memories around are the ones that had heavy music influence, because like I can hear a tune and be like, oh, I remember, you know, after school I used to come home and hear that, or a jingle or just something about the sound of it would kind of force me to kind of think back to how I felt that day and how exciting it was to see the episode, even if it was like the thousandth time that I'd watched it, right? Didn't matter.
It's like, they say that music and smell are the
triggers
that can bring you back to your childhood like no other sound.
Yeah. You think about it too. It's like when you get together with old friends and you start to reminisce or think about your childhoods, it's like somebody can start a tune to something and then everybody ends up singing the tune after 5 minutes.
So yep.
It's kind of nice. Music is that one unifier, I think, that irrespective of where a child grows up, what their family type looks like, their environment, whatever it is, that music can be that unifying force that kind of goes above language and all of these other factors, right? So that children still get that shared experience, which I think is just fabulous. I know we're coming down to the last couple of questions here towards the end of the episode. And so just have two more questions to ask. The first is, you know, what can parents do as they're watching the show with their children to reinforce themes that they're seeing in the show? Is it identifying opportunities for growth mindset? Is it singing along to the songs? What ways do you think works best for parents to really help their children really learn from the show and then incorporate some of what they're seeing at home?
Yeah, I mean, I think definitely the co-viewing is always wonderful, but I think even more than that, just modeling, right? Modeling the growth mindset of when the TV turns off, of, you know, saying you don't know something yet, or let's give it a go, or when you make a mistake, don't beat up on yourself to say, whoopsie, I made a mistake and that's okay. Or I failed fantastically, and encouraging your kids to problem solve, asking what if questions.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think one of the big stigmas that we wanted to tackle on this show is that fear of making mistakes. I think so many of us from such an early age, you get that adrenaline rush when you make a mistake, like, oh no, I made a mistake. Mm-hmm. When really, you know, research has taught us that's how you learn. You cannot learn without making mistakes. Mm-hmm. And that's how things are invented, and that's how things are created in this world that are new and exciting, is that somebody tried something, made a mistake, but then, oh wait, look what I did make.
Mm-hmm. You could make with your kids in one of our episodes, I think it was in our first drop, Gabby has a Cat-tastic book of mistakes. So even making one with your child in real life, and, you know, whenever you make a mistake, writing it in there and what you learned from that.
Celebrating mistakes. But what did I learn in that mistake?
Yeah.
Even if it's like, all right, I learned I'm not going to do that again, so I'm going to try something new.
Yeah.
But that idea of, whoopsie, I made a mistake and it's okay.
Okay. Yeah.
You learn to do things differently.
Yeah. And certainly with growth mindset aside, just all of the amazing view and do activities and the do-it-yourself activities of the recipes that we do in the dollhouse and the crafts that we do and the music for sure of dancing like a Gabby cat and, you know, just taking it to the next level of telling your own pillow cat stories, or, you know, creating, you know, you're making the Gabby cats out of play and creating your own dollhouse out of shoe boxes. You know, it's fun in this, you know, Jen and I have been creating preschool programming for a long time, and this whole aspect of YouTube now and like the whole internet and social media and how you have this whole other world, this landscape of this ecosystem of other ways to enjoy the show has just been so amazing. Of getting into nitty gritty of how to do things and other gameplay and story play and music. And it's quite fantastic to see too, especially when kids and parents, you know, maybe create a recipe from the show, like Keke's Pirate Pancake. And then you see on Instagram all these pancakes that they've mm-hmm. made, but then with their own flair, they made it their own. It's just so wonderful to see. It's creating such a community around the dollhouse that we're just so thrilled by.
Yeah, and that was one of the things when we were developing the show that we were excited about. You know, the animation of the show ends, and then we have this, what we call the cat of the day sequence. And you never know which one of the Gabby cats it's gonna be, but one of them will pop up. And it's sort of like a extension of the play. You know, it's a craft, it's a recipe, it's a game. Something
song.
Where you just mm-hmm. you get to have one-on-one time with that character mm-hmm. and then it's something that you can then, when you turn the TV off and you're not watching, you can make it yourself with your family, show your brother or sister how to make it for breakfast for your family. We love those ideas of extending the show
and inspiring
your own life.
Yep, inspiring kids to make what they see is just so fantastic. We knew you know, when we have a Hamster Kitties episode, and we were so delighted, you know, because Baby Box at the end makes a little hamster kitty out of Pom Pom. Mm-hmm. We were just flooded by kids and their own versions of hamster kitties and the stories they told and how they decorated them and the alien hamster kitty with all these eyes on it. It was fantastic. And, you know, Gabby's is the ultimate play date, and we just love how, you know, kids and families are just being invited in and they're loving playing with us. It's just such a thrill.
I love that. You know, and the great thing about children and self-made content is that it never ends, right?
And, right, no, and that's what's just great about a flavor. I mean, that's what a whole dollhouse is just setting up that pretend play and then just running with it. And
yeah,
it's, I mean, we could tell these stories forever because you just can say anything. And then we'd just love to see the stories that kids are creating.
Yeah, once, it's so interesting because they can all see the exact same image and then interpret it just radically differently, right?
Yes, which actually reminds us, we have an upcoming episode in the fall of Rainy Day Banana, where it's a rainy day. Mm-hmm. And we unbox a sparkly banana. Mm-hmm. And the whole episode is all the funny things you can do with a banana, and everybody sees it in a different creative way. But there's a fun song that goes with this. We hope you guys will sing. Okay. That goes, so to get an idea, you take the rainy day banana, the sparkly banana, and you put it on your head. Mm-hmm. You gotta sing it with me, Jen. Ready? Tracy's got a banana on her head. Tracy's got a banana on her head. Can't go out and play today, so we need ideas instead. So we go, and every character puts the banana on their head, and then we figure out,
I've got an idea.
Right, that sparks the idea.
So Baby Box puts googly eyes on the banana and a superhero cape, and we make up this whole story about super banana.
Keke does a whole banana snack, and all the characters make different snacks out of banana snacks. Mm-hmm. And then, of course, in DJ, and we hope you do this at Gymboree, we have a banana dance party.
Oh my gosh, I love this. It's so funny because, you know, sometimes you hear the songs that children either make up by themselves or they hear it on television or YouTube or whatever. And then it's like, where did you get that song from? And they're like singing it for days on end. And so I'm pretty sure to every parent out there listening, you're going to become very well versed.
I know, when they have bananas in the house and the child takes the banana and puts it on their head and starts singing. We love it.
If your children start randomly asking for bananas, you know that you heard it here first, that there's an episode, and now that it's got an actual song.
Really epitomizes Gabby's Dollhouse and what makes it different. Mm-hmm. It's that quirkiness. You know, we love the idea that it's a rainy day, and, you know, so many shows have done rainy day, but what makes it Gabby's and what makes it quirky? And the idea that she just puts a banana on her head
and starts singing,
and she gives it powers, magical powers. This banana is going to help you come up with a great idea of what to do. And everybody comes up with one, and we do all these great ideas. And then the next thing you know, the rainy day's over, and we've had an absolute blast in a weird, wacky, quirky way with the banana.
Yep.
I love it. And so I just have one final question for the both of you. And I asked our other guests the same, because I'm just curious, because, you know, obviously just to be able to create and produce a show like Gabby's Dollhouse requires a whole lot of imagination, right? And like a whole lot of inspiration even. And so I was wondering what your favorite cartoons were as children.
I always loved, and this is funny, I have a wonderful, certainly love, and Sesame Street. I grew up on Sesame Street. But I never was intrigued by the puppets as much as the animation. I've just always loved the animations and the songs and all the and that is the power of television, truly, of, you know, can recite those songs from Sesame Street. And I'm dating myself, but all the other 70s parents out there of the 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, and watching the visuals, but also just being exposed to, I always love cutout animation and going into books like Leo Leone's and Eric Carle and that whole cutout world, loving those.
Yeah, and I loved I loved the banana splits, just the quirkiness of it, and all the different places they went and the different sort of magazine format. I was always obsessed with tiny little things. I loved the littles, the idea that there were these tiny little world. I loved anything about fairies. Remember my mom and I used to create little fairy gardens outside, and she had these tiny little iron fairies and we would place them out in the garden.
Yeah, we're excited too. And you think of the impact that those shows and books had on you as a kid, and we're excited to, you know, be sharing that with a generation of kids too, and that they'll have Gabbies and grow up with Gabbies.
I think that that's wonderful. It's always good to see where people kind of had that spark that, you know, led into a career or something that now teaches, you know, hundreds, thousands, if not millions of children through that spark, right? And so I'm just excited to kind of learn more about the next season. I'm excited to see the feedback that we get from our sites around North America, because, you know, certainly as we are rolling out our two special events that are going to be running in August and September, we're sure to get all types of feedback and children coming into our location, singing the songs, talking about the episodes, and talking about all of the fun new things that they've seen on the show this fall. And so I'm just so excited.
Yes, and we definitely, Jen and I want to come to the DJ disco party for show off. Yep,
yes, we will make sure that happens. You know, I think what's been really cool, like I mentioned to you guys before we started recording, you know, our team has been working for the last several months to figure out the best way to ground the show into our locations and to really bring it to life in a way that our customers understood, but then also where there was this overlap of a love of early childhood education, a love of early childhood development. And so you know, we really love the growth mindset. This month, coincidentally, is all about encouraging independence in children. And so our content has been focused around that. And so I love that, you know, and I'm gonna have to look this up to find more out about the work with Carol. You said Dweck?
Dweck. D-W-E-C-K.
Okay, yeah, I'm definitely curious now, because I'm like, oh my gosh, I wonder if there's a way even there to fold some of that into our rollout so that families have a much wider awareness of that work and just have some additional tips and tools on how to really help their children learn and understand these character building traits of trying again and not getting down on themselves when they fail, because, you know, obviously nobody wants to fail.
And there's also another woman who's out there who recently, I know, does a lot of growth mindset for kids. I can't remember her name, but I know it's, if you look under, it's called Big Life Journal.
Okay.
She does some great stuff.com.
All right. So I'm taking notes. I'll make sure to our listeners that we go ahead and we hyperlink this information in the show notes. And then, you know, you guys can, to our audience, you guys can go ahead and pull up the information. You know, we want to make sure, obviously, that you understand the themes of the show. But even beyond that, you know, what we've stood for more than 45 years is to make sure that children explore their imagination, that they feel comforted and they have the support of their families and their parents as they grow and as they explore.
Yes, and please, we'd love to see all your kids' imaginations in their dances and in their crafts and in their recipes. So
yeah,
you know, please share that with us. We'd love to see how we can inspire kids.
Yeah, and so to everybody listening, like she said, be sure to tag us, at us, mention us, use the hashtag. You know, make sure that, you know, you're getting our attention, and we will make sure to reshare that content on social media. And for those of you who just love this episode, feel free to sound off in the comments below. And thank you so much for listening to this episode of The Parent Pod.
Meow, meow.
Thank you for listening to this episode of The Parent Pod. If you enjoyed this conversation, feel free to give us a rating and to share your feedback on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and Google Podcasts.